The other night, Vicki and I had some friends over for dinner, and the last thing she said before they came was, Phil, could you get the pink salt and fill up the salt shaker? And it's not really the salt shaker, it's the salt grinder, but I got what she was talking about, and I filled it up because, you know, when you come to somebody's house for dinner, you want to make sure that when somebody's there, that they have everything they need to enjoy the meal. And certainly, when you come to somebody's house or when you go anywhere, really, everybody's got a different taste for salt, right? Sometimes you have this just hankering and everything has to be filled up with salt because you need that to enhance its flavor, to enhance the food's flavor. Some of you don't really like salt all that much, which is hard to believe that anybody would think that was a bad idea to salt your food. But it's an important part of a meal to be able to enhance the flavor. Now certainly there's some issues with salt, right? I mean, salt in abundance will totally wreck you. Salt in not enough salt will also totally wreck you, but salt in the right portion makes everything better. It really does. And that's what Jesus is going to talk about today. We should be, in some senses, limiting our salt intake so that we're not overusing salt personally, but we should never underuse or limit the amount of salt that our lives pour off into the world. That's what Jesus is going to tell his disciples. He calls them forward in this Sermon on the Mount, which is this place, time, where he just sat up on a hill and talked to his disciples, and his disciples then began to grow in that moment because more and more people came to hear him. And he was speaking words like this: "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." And then he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So we are going to kind of focus on the salt aspect of things, but let me just talk about the two metaphors that Jesus uses for just a second. In the first part of verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth." In the first part of verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world." And I don't want to have to, you know, sound like I'm teaching down to you or anything like that. But here's what we have to know, that you are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. In other words, what I'm saying by that is that that as a follower of Christ, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are salt and you are light. And this word is technically, "you," is technically a plural use of that word "you." And he's talking to the entire church, every believer from the time that Jesus Christ would rise from the grave and then ascend into heaven when the church began. So he was looking forward to that. He was still here. He hadn't accomplished his work by his death and resurrection on the cross. But from the time that he rose into heaven until now and when he comes again, every single person in that is who's trusted Christ is part of the church. And they are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But we have to keep in mind something, that you can't have a you without a you. You can't have a collective you unless you have a kind of everybody in this together being you. So there's a corporate aspect of this, but there's also a personal aspect of this. So in relationship to the salt, it's like the salt shaker is all of us, the church, and then each grain of salt lands in a particular place and it affects the thing that it hit. And so you and me and all of us as the body of Christ have a collective effect, but it's only because we all have an individual effect where we personally touch whatever it is that needs salted. So we're going to talk about that today, salt. In the ancient world, when Jesus was walking around, salt had a lot more uses than it has today. I mean, it still has the same uses. We just don't use it in the same way all the time. And there are really five that it had. There's probably others, but let's just talk about the most common ones. The first is that it was a flavor enhancer. The second is that it preserved things. The third is that it was a healing agent. The fourth is that it destroyed things, which is, we don't really talk about that much when we talk about it in terms of Christianity, but salt destroyed things. And fifth, it was this fertilizer. That's, you know, if they were gonna fertilize their land as farmers, they would use salt to do that. So I want to unpack that, because we are called the salt of the earth. Now, we're all that. So if you're a follower of Christ, you are salt. If you're a follower of Christ, you are light. It's not that some of us who are really spiritual are the salt, or some of us who are really spiritual are the light. Every single person who's a follower of Jesus is salt and is light. The difference is, as Jesus points out in these passages, is that if you're salt, you have two options. And your life is lived in such a way related to how you respond to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in your life. And if you're responding to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in your life, then your salt is tasty, or it's salty. And if you're not at that moment, then you are a useless salt, a tasteless salt, an ineffective salt. Now, what Jesus goes on to say doesn't really relate to your salvation, because he goes on and he says, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Jesus wasn't trying to say that if you go into a situation and you're unsalty instead of salty, that, man, he doesn't want anything to do with you. What he's saying is that here's the difference between salt that is effective and salt that's ineffective. Salt that's effective does what it's supposed to do. Salt that's ineffective has absolutely no purpose whatsoever. Now, the cool thing is, as I said, is that how we abide in Christ, how we live in his word, is what puts us in a position to be salty or unsalty. I mean, we are salt, but are you the beaten down, torn down, you know, ineffective salt that has no life in it? Or are you abiding with Christ and therefore being everything that salt is supposed to be to this world? That's our call today. Now, what does it look like to be salt? As I said, first of all, it's a flavor enhancer. I mean, if you walked into a Tex-Mex or a Mexican restaurant in this town, or now let's say this, what would be your favorite place to go to a Tex-Mex or a Mexican restaurant? Is it on the border? Is it maybe a little taco shop, or is it more of a chain? Is it a local thing, or what is it? I mean, one of the things that will help you make that decision, my guess would be, is the chips and the salsa, right? Man, when I go into a place right now, I'm not going to name names because I don't want to get in fights, because, man, there's something about people's taste that, man, they're very, very, yeah, they have a strong opinion. And I do too. But so that's why we'd probably fight about it. And we don't need to do that. But if I was walking into certain restaurants in this town, I could name a couple and I won't. But, man, I would know right away that immediately the first thing that I was going to do before I took the chip out of the basket and stuck it into salsa, I would need to take the salt shaker and almost pour half of it onto that one little thing, right? Because some places in this city do not salt their chips. How can that be, right? Why is that so important? Well, because if they're not salted, all you get is the taste of the cornmeal and the oil, and it's not really anything except for this crunchy kind of bland thing, right? But if you put salt on it, what happens? Well, technically what happens is that when you put salt on to make it more savory or more salty, the more concentrated salt that you put on something, the more savory it becomes. You know what's cool about that, though, too? Is that it also works for sweetness. Because in the right concentration, at a lower concentration than a savory concentration, man, if you put salt, just a little salt into oatmeal, for example, and then you put brown sugar or maple syrup or regular syrup or some sort of sweetener like honey, man, it will pull the sweetness out even more. You know, my wife, Vicky, she likes to eat savory oatmeal. I don't even know why that exists. Actually, it doesn't exist. You have to make it, right? But because, why? Well, because oatmeal technically is just the carrier, right? It's just the carrier of the flavor. It doesn't have much flavor of its own. It just carries a flavor. And she creates this flavor of, you know, vegetables in oatmeal. Who puts vegetables in oatmeal? You know, and eats it for breakfast. She's not here. She was in the last hour. Sorry. I saw you looking for her. I'm just looking over there at Michael, and she's not Vicky. Anyway, we're off. We're a little bit what? I don't even know. What is that? I don't even know. What was that all about, by the way? It's announcements. When you say the word, I got it. Okay, thank you. All right, so we're talking about this flavor enhancer. So how does a believer in Christ, what does it look like for us to be able to be salt in terms of enhancing the flavor? Well, one of the things is that believers, we give the taste of salt or the enhancement of the world that people are living in. So when you as a follower of Christ are walking with Christ and being obedient to his call and his word and you're submitting to his will and you're interacting with people, you are bringing love and care and compassion and mercy into a situation. You're bringing, actually, people are getting a glimpse. They're being exposed to the fact that God has a purpose for this world. And so when you're living according to the word of God, when you're living connected to God and Jesus, what you're doing is you're enhancing, you're giving a glimpse of what God intends the world to be. You're enhancing a person's experience with humanity and with the creation. You're enhancing a person's experience living and walking in the world that God created. You're giving people the look of what it's supposed to be like, how you're supposed to love and be loved, how you're supposed to experience compassion and offer compassion, how you're supposed to be connected to the purpose of God. And when you're in those things, your experience is enhanced. You and me, we are salt. You and I are salt. We're this flavor enhancer, giving people pictures and glimpses and tastes of a beautiful creation that God has given us, and a beautiful life, and a beautiful kingdom, and a beautiful relationship with the God of that kingdom, the King of that kingdom. That's part of what us being salty is. It's not just that, though. It's also a preservative. I've got a guy I grew up next to when I was a kid, and he was a hunter, and he had this smoke shack in the back. So he would kill a deer or whatever, and he would hang straps of meat in that shack. And some of those straps were being, you know, smoked and prepared that way. But he also did a lot of curing meat with salt. So he would make his own jerky and do all that. And the thing is, if you preserve meat properly, if you have the right concentration of salt in meat, man, it can last forever. Or at least a long time. I mean, that guy who lived next door to me, I would guess that he still probably has some of that beef jerky that was so hard back when he first made it, 40 plus years ago. But if you do it right, it preserves it and it lasts. Why? Well, because when you put salt on meat, the water gets pulled out of the meat. And mold and bacteria can't grow without moisture. And so it kind of locks and seals so that bacteria and mold cannot get in and spoil the meat. And if it's done right, it'll last a really long time. And you know, that's who you are as followers of Christ. That's who we are as followers of Christ. We're preserving, in some senses. We're not responsible to make sure everything goes right, but we're preserving, at least in our abilities and circles and the way God's using us, to preserve, well, life sometimes. We're pushing back injustice. We're pushing back evil and abuse. I mean, the believer who is walking with Christ is the one to rush in to save the unborn, or to rush in to help a woman who's involved in an unplanned pregnancy and provide love and care and support. That's what we preserve. We work in. We help people who are struggling with poverty or a position of abuse or whatever struggle they might have in their life. We feed the hungry. We preserve. But we also preserve the Word of God. Now, when I'm walking with Jesus and I'm connecting with people, man, what they're seeing in me and what they're seeing in you when you're walking with Jesus is they're seeing the Word lived out. And so many times in my life, I'm not living the Word out. I mean, I got to be honest, and you should be honest with yourself too. I mean, every time I turn away from the Word of God, and every time that I go my own way, and every time I make a decision to choose my selfishness instead of what God would have for me, man, I am no longer really being salt. What I'm doing is actually not preserving the Word of God. I'm actually, tearing it down. I'm destroying it. And when I walk with God, and I'm connecting with people, and I'm close enough to them to know that they know and I know what's going on in each of these lives, then, man, I can preserve the Word of God in their life too. I mean, God uses me to be sprinkled upon them so that their lives might be more like Jesus. That's what salt is like, this preservative. It not only preserves life, but it preserves the Word of God as we interact with one another. If we keep going, salt also was this healing agent. And it's healing, the way salt works in healing is a little bit like the way it works in preserving, except for then preserving, it pulled the water out before bacteria existed. But when it comes to healing, it actually pulls the water out, and in the water is the bacteria. So that's why if you're at the beach for a week and you cut your finger or your arm or something and you still go into the ocean and swim every day, it heals much faster because the bacteria is pulled out. The water that holds the bacteria is pulled out. An infection can't set in. And so salt was a healing agent. And that's the same with us. As we walk with Christ, we're a healing agent. We're a salve that gets put on the life of people. We're someone who points actually to the healing that comes in Christ. I mean, ultimately, the healing of our sin and our soul, but even the healing of relationships, even the healing of our own failures, even the healing of somebody else's pain and struggle. God uses us to be that salve, to put Him into that moment, to put the Holy Spirit into that moment. That's what it means that we are salt that heals. Furthermore, salt destroys. Now, it heals, it enhances things, and it preserves. But in the Bible, actually, the thing that salt is talked about the most as doing is related to judgment and punishment or destruction. Think about when Sodom and Gomorrah happened. Remember, God said, I'm going to strike Sodom and Gomorrah and totally wipe them off the map. And Lot and his wife and his two girls, his daughters, are the only ones who escape because they're the only ones who are righteous. And the only thing God tells them as they escape is, hey, don't look back. And if you remember, Lot's wife looked back, right? And what happened to her? She was turned into a pillar of salt. In Deuteronomy 29, God's talking to the rebellious people of Israel, and He says to them in verse 22, it says, "In the next generation, your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land will say, when they see the afflictions on that land and the sickness with which God has made it sick, that the whole land burned out with brimstone and salt." When the world sees what happens, they will recognize that God has destroyed it, and He's brought salt in it to ruin everything. Now, that sounds weird that God would do that, but in judgment, He does. And He uses us to destroy things as well in a salty way. You know, when we moved here 20 years ago, about 3 months after we moved here, we had to take our car. It was a Dodge Durango at the time, and it I had to get a new muffler put on. And, you know, that was the second muffler that I'd had put on that car. And the reason that I had to put it on was because in the north where we came from, they put salt on the streets to get rid of the snow and the ice. And that literally destroys a car. And you know, some of you from Ohio or some of you from the north, you can remember how getting a new muffler was a commonplace thing. It was not uncommon. Seeing mufflers along the highway, it was a common thing. And you know, I haven't had a new muffler since I put that muffler on that car in 2005. Why? Because we don't have a corrosive salt that's here, right? Salt destroys things. And in a good way, we as salt destroy. Because when we're walking in the truth, you know what we destroy? The lies that people have in their hearts. When we're walking in the truth of God and in obedience to God as the salt of the earth, you know what we're doing? We are destroying the lies of Satan that he's telling people that we're around. He's using us as we walk this line, and sometimes it's not even us that speak it. Sometimes it's just the works that we do, the way that we interact, the love that we have, the life that we live. As we walk with that, it destroys these lies that Satan's been telling people, the deceptions and the traps and the pitfalls that he's wanting us to fall into. Our truth and the way we live out truth actually helps people destroy the work of sin and Satan in their life just by us living out our faith in front of them. That's why Jesus calls us salt. Finally, salt was also used as a fertilizer. So a farmer in Jesus' day would, you know, take a little salt in the right amount and throw it into the field. And when he threw it into the field, it would create this, well, it'd be easier to plow. It would hold water better. It would kill off some of the bad things in there, the minerals that were not good. It would take care of those minerals. It would get rid of the bugs, and it would create a fertilizer, so to speak. In fact, if you're going to put fertilizer on this spring, I would probably guess that if you read the ingredients on the fertilizer bag, sodium would be a part of that. I mean, sodium is a fertilizer when it's used in the right way. And our lives are fertilizers too. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about as I was driving the van this morning to the airport was that because I knew I was going to preach this, and I was thinking that's exactly what they were doing this weekend with you guys. They were creating, trying to help create in you a hunger. They were fertilizing this desire that you have, even if it's small, to know Jesus. And they're trying to make it stronger and bigger and more. And the more faith, the more people, the more love of Christ that you're exposed to, the more it kind of creates in you it breaks up your heart. It provides a place for, you know, the Spirit of God to take root and to begin to grow. And so, as followers of Jesus, when he says we are the salt, it's not just a statement about, you know, something that we can't understand. It's not just a statement about those who are maybe superior in the faith. It's a statement towards us being the people that enhance the experience of those around them into what God desires this life to be lived as. It's an opportunity for us to, man, provide preservation for the Word of God in their lives and to help the world be more like God wants it to be, without abuse, without trafficking, without all that stuff. Salt is this opportunity for us to be a healing agent, not technically the healing agent, but to bring the healing of the Spirit of God into that relationship, to destroy the work of Satan and the lives that he has and the lives of others that we're close to. And to just keep working the soil. God calls us to be his people, engaged in the ministry of discipling others. And as a disciple of Jesus, and as we abide in him, we affect, we influence, we fertilize people's lives so that this work of the Spirit can be done in them. Let's pray together. God, help us stay connected to you so that we are salty and not saltless, that we are tasty and not tasteless, that we are effective and not ineffective in terms of our interactions with people. Jesus, we pray and thank you so much for who you are and what you've done, that you have delivered us from our own sin and the pain and the debt that goes along with that separation from you. And Lord, we thank you that through your death and resurrection, we can have forgiveness and that we can live in the light and the truth and to be the salt of the earth so that people come to know you and your kingdom gets built and you get glory in every way. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship together.